So I've been talking a lot about how big that Ole Miss game was and how big that weekend was for LSU in terms of the AP poll, in terms of the ranks in the SEC West, in terms of the trajectory of this team under Brian Kelly. But it was really, really big for another reason. We'll get into that on today's edition of Locked On LSU.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. We're on YouTube as well. Just search Locked On LSU on YouTube and you can listen and watch the podcast as well. And speaking of YouTube, I've been saying all throughout the week that I wanted to hit 1,000 subscribers by the Alabama game. We hit it last night, a week and a half ahead of schedule. So I just wanted to thank you all so much for being such loyal listeners and for being so supportive of the podcast. I love creating this content for you, and I hope that you love ingesting the content as much as I love making it. And this podcast would not be anything without you. So thank you all so, so, so much for your support, for your engagement, for your interaction, and for continuing to come back every day and making Locked On LSU your first listen. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting the podcast and being here with me every day. But I also want to let you all know that today's edition of Locked On LSU is brought to you by LinkedIn, who is the official college football recruiting sponsor across the Locked On College Network. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates that you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. Terms and conditions apply. The Ole Miss game and the Ole Miss win was so huge for LSU for so many reasons, and we've kind of recapped that throughout the week. But John Garcia Jr., a recruiting insider for SI.com, joins the show today to explain why that week was so big for another reason. Joining Locked On LSU now, John Garcia Jr., recruiting insider for SI.com. First and foremost, John, huge weekend for LSU. And I've been talking all week long about how big that game was for LSU in the AP poll, in the SEC, about competing in the SEC West, all of that stuff. But it was also a huge weekend for LSU in terms of recruiting. We also found out this morning that a three-star linebacker, Christian Brathwaite, am I saying that right? Brathwaite?
That's how I say it.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm sorry to Christian if I'm totally butchering his name. He flipped from Baylor to LSU after an unofficial visit to LSU during the Ole Miss game. It was kind of hush-hush. He didn't want to make it publicized that he was visiting LSU, but officially decided that he is flipping from Baylor to LSU. How big is that for this 2023 class?
Well, this is it's just a fit. This is a 6'1", 210-pound linebacker that run sideline to sideline. He can come downhill, rush the passer, and he can cover. It sounds like a lot of the great LSU linebackers we've talked about over the last, I don't know, 5, 10, 15 years or so. So I think positionally, it profiles really well for the Tigers. Obviously, flipping a prospect from Baylor and Dave Aranda, mm-hmm. optically profiles really, really well. And look, this is a Texan, right? I mean, this is – we talk about LSU as – such a prime recruiting stop, right? I mean, this is the type of job where you don't have to leave the state a ton, but you do have to leave the state. And when you do, Texas is the first state that comes to mind when you think of LSU bringing in elite talent beyond the Bayou. So this checks a lot of boxes. This defense has picked up a lot of momentum on the field. I think it's starting to translate more in recruiting. And it was just stamped by Christian getting on campus. Like you said, hush hush visit. Mm-hmm. Brian Kelly extended this offer a while back, but out of respect to Baylor, he didn't post it. He didn't really talk about it, but at some point, you know, he was going to get over to Baton Rouge. And talk about great timing. I mean, getting on campus for that game, that upset, and the type of upset it became, right? It's not just that, hey, you beat Ole Miss, mm-hmm. storm the field, all that. That's great. I mean, that does wonders in and of itself. But it was such a defensive turnaround after that initial, 17-3 lead or whatever it was.
Right.
Such a defensive turnaround that really began to create that separation for LSU within the game. So, again, when you're a recruit on that side of the ball sitting there and you just see it unraveling so positively, it's hard to not jump in, especially with 100,000 fans storming the field, all that stuff. It was just about as good as an atmosphere, according to Christian and everyone else who was there, as it gets. in college football. So I think the timing of all that was really strong for LSU. And for me, it's going to be the beginning of what we expect to be a pretty strong finish to the 2023 recruiting cycle.
And I want to get into just how big that day was for recruiting, but kind of sticking with Christian, he's a three-star linebacker. And I've seen some LSU fans a little bit puzzled about why are we so excited about a three-star linebacker? Kind of a two-parter for you. One, why is he not that four or five-star caliber player? And two, why should LSU fans be excited about him, even if he's not, you know, five-star number one linebacker recruit in the country?
Well, look, last year was banged up, missed a ton of games. And you know, I can't speak for every outlet that creates rankings, but a lot of the junior year stuff is the most valued. It's the most important that we track in the industry. So the guys who are banged up, the guys who are late risers or a combination of the two, like Christian is, they're a little bit behind the eight ball. It just kind of is what it is. But watch his senior tape. Watch some of the stuff he's putting out now if you're an LSU fan and you see – positional versatility. You see a guy who can play inside and Mike backer and be that classic captain of the defense, but you also see a guy who can line up outside, rush the passer, cover. I mean, a guy who just runs so darn well and is explosive through contact. There's a lot to like about Christian on tape, especially with his updated stuff. I think he's a little bit bigger as well than some of the sites are giving him credit for playing at Cypress Ranch. He's probably 6'3" or 6'1", 210, 215 or so. I think he's I saw him listed at 200 pounds at one website. So I do think that there's an update coming in that regard. But look, people trust Dave Aranda's evaluations on defense.
Especially obviously, at this school.
Yeah, especially at LSU, right? Yeah. So that was an early get for them. They took a chance on him despite the injuries and all that. And he's only built upon that resume, and it really has emphasized it as a senior. So other schools try to come in here too. You know, this wasn't a situation where it was just LSU and Baylor, but Christian kept a lot of things private, you know, respect to him for that. But LSU was overwhelming. It was overwhelming for him, the consistent contact, the communication, then the visit. And it was that visit, like we talked about. So this is a really nice long-term grab for LSU. This wasn't a, hey, we liked his tape last week, offered him 2 days ago, and now we got him committed. This was a, you know, 2-3-4 month recruitment of identification and true pull for LSU. So I think in that regard, LSU fans should be that much more excited because there was a lot of effort put into this. This wasn't a, hey, you got the offer, you flip the next day kind of deal. It just might have presented that way because of how Christian handled it.
And that was big for this pickup over the weekend. But this was a massive weekend of recruiting for LSU. A whole lot of recruits coming to visit for that game. A lot of LSU commits on the field as well, both in the 23 class and the 24 class as well. So a lot of prospective LSU players on the sidelines. And like you mentioned, an amazing atmosphere, a big win for LSU. Can we see more dominoes fall, both flips and also commits, in the next few weeks after such a big weekend of recruiting and such a big win?
Yeah, well, Brathwaite wasn't the only verbally committed prospect to another school to make that visit, even in the class of 23, right? Amari Miller was there, a local kid who we talked about for a long time, Nebraska commitment, a lot of question marks around that program. So the more visits he keeps taking to LSU, the more your ears perk up as a Tiger fan. And then the top Ole Miss commitment in the entire class, Suntareen Perkins, was there. This is an SI99 recruit, more of a conventional big-time linebacker in that he's 6'3", 230 pounds, you know, built a little bit more like a Devin White as opposed to, you know, Christian Brathwaite, who's a little bit smaller and twitchier. So a guy who profiles really well, has been flirting with a lot of schools, right? Long-time commit to Ole Miss. But he's been to Bama. I think Mississippi State's getting him on campus. Now he's been to LSU. So that recruitment's starting to bubble out just a little bit more for Perkins. And I think Lane Kiffin and company have their hands full trying to keep him at the top of their class of 2023. So naturally, you expect more flips LSU's way and more recruits to jump in overall, right? You mentioned the verbal commitments that were also on hand. And I think that's an important group to highlight as well, especially because flips work both ways, right? Yep. So you've got kids who committed elsewhere that you want, and then some schools still want your commitments, right? So a Shelton Sampson getting back to Baton Rouge is a big deal every single time he does it. The only official visitor was Dalen Austin, who is a California kid, cornerback, right? Other schools have tried to circle around on this recruitment, mainly USC, the local school. So those are always important visits to look at, even if they don't create news in that, hey, it's a commitment or a decommitment. Still big to continue to recruit the guys that you've already technically secured, because things change in a hurry in recruiting. So you've got to be able to do both. And obviously LSU has been able to do that over the last week or so.
Yeah, flips giveth and flips taketh away. But coming up next, we talk about how big that Ole Miss weekend was for LSU's recruiting. But coming up this upcoming weekend is another big weekend for recruiting. So does John agree with the way that Brian Kelly is approaching it? We'll get into that coming up next. So a lot of sports fans, including myself, like to place bets on games. It's fun. It's one of my favorite things to do on a Saturday. But I don't like to be one of those super risky bettors and place high stakes bets on risky games. So don't do the same with your small business. I mean, every new potential hire can feel like a high stakes wager for your small business. And you want to be 100% certain that you have the access to the best qualified candidates available. So that's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. It helps find the right people for your team faster and for free. So I work for a radio station, and one of our producers who does a ton of great work, did a ton of great work for the station, decided to leave and pursue a different career path during the busiest time of year, during football season. So we were kind of scrambling to find someone to fill that role. So we turned to LinkedIn Jobs because it was super easy to set up the job application and to set up the job opening. It was free, so it was no skin off our back. And LinkedIn Jobs did a lot of the heavy lifting for us because they use simple tools like screening questions that make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you would like to interview and hire. So let LinkedIn Jobs do all of the filtration through the candidates that don't have the right experience and expertise for your job opening, for your small business. All you got to do is go to LinkedIn, create the new job application, and then add the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you are hiring. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates that you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. That's linkedin.com/lockedoncollege to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Well, thanks for making Locked On LSU your first listen today. So for your second listen today, check out Locked On Sports today. From the games that matter most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. So going into the bye week, this is a big week for recruiting, as it is every year. So Brian Kelly mentioned in his press conference earlier today that he's not going to be taking any official visits to go see recruits at schools, at games, in their houses, so on and so forth. He says, if I only visit one or two, then that's going to make the others feel not as special. How do you feel about that approach? I see his thinking. Do you agree with it?
Yeah, there's only so much time you have to dedicate. Obviously, there's some huge games on the horizon for LSU, so that is still priority one. And I think Brian was emphasizing, hey, this is still what we're doing here first and foremost. But look, there's also, you know, the weekend into Monday provided a little bit of time to get out and see some of those priority guys. And look, the coaches will hit the road again for some high school games at the end of the week. It's just something to be expected. But I think when he talks about himself being able to do these things, there's only so much a head coach can do during the bye week in general. We just don't see a lot of them hit the road. I think I saw Aranda, like James Franklin, hit the road during the bye week, but it's just not something that is as common as it used to be, particularly because one, you get a lot of good recruits to your school. And then two, you're saving a lot of that in-person face-to-face time for the end of the cycle, right? November, December, when you can get in the home and really try to end and close during the recruiting process. So I see both sides in that regard, but look, they're still going to see Julian Sayin, the top quarterback that they're after in 2024, and a couple of select prospects in Texas. And of course, within state lines in Louisiana. So it's not a punt on recruiting altogether, especially coming off of last week. And I think that's part of the reason why the visitor list was such a big deal and so prioritized, right? Because you knew that during the bye week, you weren't going to be able to see and host and talk to as many recruits as you were when Ole Miss was in town. So I think it goes together. It's kind of a package deal in that 10-day span in terms of how you handle things. So look, what we know, there's priorities to close out this 23 class, Toviano out in Texas, these other guys, they know that where they stand with LSU, and obviously you want to kick the tires on 2024. And right now, some of those big quarterback dominoes are falling nationally. So you want to see where you stand. And Julian Sands got a final group of schools, and he's committing soon. So naturally, you want to solidify quarterback to avoid what happened this year where you had to shuffle and try to flip a guy. Right. And then obviously the quarterback position in general is a big deal. So you always want to, pursue the next great arm that might be coming to your school. So I do think that the priorities in those regards are very much aligned for LSU.
And I agree with you. I saw both ways. I saw the, look, we've got a whole lot of work to do this week, I'm not going to prioritize a recruit over another. And also, there's a pretty big game coming up next weekend, and the schedule doesn't get any easier after that. But you mentioned Julian Sands in the 24 class. The quarterback room in 2024 has the potential to be very stacked. What does he have, and what traits does he possess that LSU should be interested in?
Yeah, he's got that combination, right? He's big, he's a California kid. So, there's always going to be some gunslinger attributes to these California kids that come up playing in these spread offenses. They're most familiar with these systems. I'd say California and Texas is where we see that at such a high clip. So Julian's got a lot of that in his bag. He is mobile. I mean, he's obviously not like a Jaden Daniels where you're going to run for 100 yards and flip the game with your legs, but he's mobile enough to carry out, some of these off-platform throws in a newer, spread type scheme like we see most every offense running in 2022. So he's got that in his bag as well. And he's just a kid who's incredibly accurate on top of it. Those second level throws, which really make or break games, that's where he's at his best. And I think that's something that a lot of schools have already zeroed in on and prioritized with him. It's a great year at quarterback, at least as early as we see it right now. And Julian could be a top two or three guy when all is said and done, right? I think most people have Jaden Davis or Dylan Raiola as maybe the top guy. So the other is number two. And then Julian's right there. So, this is a great group of quarterbacks, and those dominoes are starting to fall, right? Raiola's committed to Ohio State. I think Julian's coming off the board in November. So a lot of these decisions are coming sooner rather than later. CJ Carr is already off the board to Notre Dame. So a lot of these top 2024 QBs are starting to get to that point of the process. Right when we jumped on, I saw Washington get a 2024 quarterback. So that part of the process is picking up. So in that regard, LSU fans should be excited that not only they're in it for saying, but there's going to be a yes or no here in short order, just a matter of weeks, so that you can A, be done with the process at quarterback for 2024, or B, move on to the next group of passers that you would be considering. And I think if Saiyan ends up elsewhere, I think Alabama is the primary competitor here. If he ends up picking Bama, I think you double down on DJ Lagway, a Texan who is more of a true dual threat. So you're getting a little bit of variance in the targets that LSU is looking at quarterback. And that's good, right? Because that's what you have on the current roster. Right. And it's obviously worked out really well.
Which allows time as well, because, you go all in for one quarterback in the 2024 class. That doesn't work out. He commits elsewhere. You move on down the line. But coming up next, there are some unfortunate stories coming out about a couple of SEC West foes. So how can LSU capitalize off of what's going on in those two programs? We'll get into that coming up next with John. So I want to tell you guys about my friend, Pamela. I used to work with Pamela, and she used to hide in the office bathroom almost like every 30 minutes to dry off her armpits because she was so sweaty and she was so embarrassed. She didn't want anyone to see the wet circles under her underarms, but she finally has her life back thanks to Sweatblock. So no more wasting time throughout the day and no more spending her emotional energy on being embarrassed about her sweat stains, because Sweatblock has changed her life. She was able to fix her problem with Sweatblock. Sweatblock gives you the confidence to wear what you want without embarrassing underarm sweat. I mean, nobody wants that, right? Nobody wants to have those wet stains on your underarms. Plus, the Sweatblock wipes were featured and tested on the Rachel Ray Show by the firefighters. So if you or someone that you love is experiencing embarrassing sweater odor, try Sweatblock. Save 20% with promo code LOCKEDON at sweatblock.com. Also available on Amazon. So Texas A&M, a lot of tea, so to speak, coming out of that program. Of course, three freshmen suspended indefinitely for behavior. And we've already heard grumblings of decommitments from their recruits. We've heard of, you know, some really talented players out of Texas A&M entering the transfer portal. Auburn has been a dumpster fire pretty much all season long. And we've seen some of their players not very content about what's going on with that program. So with all of the players, you know, committed to A&M and Auburn, and all the players entering the transfer portal or who have yet to enter the transfer portal, inevitably from A&M and Auburn, how can LSU capitalize on those two groups of players?
Well, these are two schools in the West, as you mentioned, that are overlapping with your top targets every single year. Mm-hmm. So whether
they're always competing with A&M and Auburn,
right? Whether it's portal players who, you know, are from Louisiana, for instance, or were big Texans that LSU was in the final running for, whether it's guys like that or current recruits that are in that same sort of footprint, it's going to have an impact positively towards LSU. There's really no other way to put it. I mean, A&M has always prioritized Louisiana. Some of their best players are Louisianans on this current roster. And then on the flip side, I mean, Auburn's best commit to me is Ashley Williams from Zachary High School, pass rusher up there who has been wrecking shop as a senior, SI-99 recruit in his own right there. So neither school has a big commitment list. I think they're both around a dozen verbal commitments, but the quality within those verbal commitments is strong. I mean, they both have a bunch of blue chippers, more blue chippers than not. They just don't have the volume of some of these other schools to be ranked in the top 10 or top 15 in recruiting, but the quality of those verbal commitments is there. Unsurprisingly though, neither has a quarterback verbally committed, and both programs have had to, you know, wait and be patient with these kids jumping on board. Naturally, with Auburn, you do expect some potential attrition because I think that one's a little bit more unstable, right? We know some say the writing's already on the wall for Brian Harsin. Some of those kids have already decommitted, so I think that one's a little bit more fluid than Texas A&M. But A&M, it feels like it's close. It's like hinging, right, at this point, if they don't turn things around on the field. So both will be fascinating. Both of those stories, not only in the SEC, but nationally, will play a lot into how these recruiting rankings and the transfer portal deals start to shake out. There's really no other way to put it. They're in too fertile of areas and too competitive of a division and a conference to not have great talent on the roster and on the way. So yeah, both of those groups will absolutely impact the entire SEC. And look, if you break them down geographically, LSU's right in the middle of those two between Auburn and College Station. So naturally there's going to be some overlap and a potential benefit there.
And it does kind of feel with A&M like there is just, they're hanging on by one thread and you're just waiting for all of that to break loose. But Jimbo Fisher was asked about maybe some of the lack of depth, especially with some players transferring or recruits decommitting. And he said, hey, that just makes it even better for recruiting because it's basically sending the message of you can come into Texas A&M and you can start right away. And I think that's almost like a direct dig at Alabama being such a notoriously deep program. I personally don't buy what Jimbo Fisher is saying, because if I'm a 17, 18 year old football player, I'm going to go win championships. How do you feel about what he said? Does he make a point, or is it just kind of a last call to get recruits into Texas A&M?
Yeah, you see both sides of this one. Look, there's always a sell, right? And Jimbo Fisher's been around a long time. He knows recruiting. There's always something to sell. And if you are a program that is struggling, you point to the future, right? You point to youth and say, hey, look, things aren't going our way right now, but XYZ freshman is already playing. XYZ freshman has already done some damage in the SEC West, and you have an opportunity to come and do the same thing next year. So that is a sell in its own right. But like you said, Caroline, look, these are blue chip recruits, SI-99 players. They want to come in and win. You know, it's probably not the number one thing on their mind, but the NFL, NIL, winning, those are all close. Those are all close to the top of the priority list for a lot of these players. It's not just about, hey, I want to play the most snaps. Okay, I've never heard a kid in 12 years tell me, I just want to play 500 snaps in college. So whoever gets me on the field first is gonna get me. I do think depth chart, all that plays a factor, but it's rarely the top, factor in trying to figure out where I'm going to go to school if I'm an elite recruit. So there's a sell on both sides of this thing. But look, the best players on the best teams are going to play early, right? Whether it's Georgia, Alabama, as you mentioned, Ohio State, Clemson, all the teams in the top five this year, they've all played freshmen and sophomores, you know, throughout their roster if they're good enough. So I think there's a sell on the other side of that as well. So yeah, I think a lot of people are seeing through a lot of what Jimbo's saying really since the offseason, and it's coming to a head at this point. So I think that's part of the reason why A&M's numbers are low on the commitment list after the number one class just last year. And I think that's why a lot of people are going to be refreshing that transfer portal. A lot of college coaches, hey, every day, let's refresh this thing and see who might jump in. And if you said, you know, 10 players from A&M would jump in between now and Christmas, I don't think it would surprise a lot of people. And that's not something we would have assumed 6 months ago.
And with your knowledge of, you know, the current outlook of the program and how things are looking on the field right now, and also combined with the commitments in their 2023 and 2024 recruiting classes for both A&M and Auburn, are Jimbo Fisher and Brian Harsin doing, you know, irreparable damage that could last for the next few years? Or is this just a down year? We're going to figure things out and move forward. They're going to continue to be, you know, SEC West competitors in the next few years.
Yeah, I think it's probably a combination here. I mean, for Harsin, it feels like it's true back against the wall, you know, one against 100 kind of deal, David versus Goliath. Any pun you want to throw out there, it feels desperate for Harsin. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's, for him, there's a sense of, yeah, I need to rally this thing. But there's also a sense of, hey, I might be out the door already, so I've got nothing to lose here. So, you know, sell kids on Auburn as opposed to Brian Harsin and the system that you're trying to create. And then for Fisher, I think it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money at stake here. Not to say there's not for Harsin, but a lot more money at stake with Jimbo Fisher's future. Yeah. And I do think that could probably buy him some time, not as much time as you would think. So I do think that there's more that's salvageable for Jimbo Fisher and company here moving forward. But look, something's got to change on field in recruiting. Something's got to change, and he's got to embrace that. And I think the biggest knock on Jimbo is that he's this quarterback person, right? That we assume has always been this quarterback guy, but it hasn't been that way since he's gotten to A&M. So it almost, as complicated as it is, it's almost as simple as it could be. If you fix that spot, you fix everything almost. But we haven't seen any progress despite what, 2, 3, 4 different quarterbacks over the last 2 years or so in College Station. So until that changes, I don't see the irreversible damage going the other way for Fisher. I think he's doubled down on that position because that's his reputation. And until that's fixed, A&M won't be fixed.
He's not looking like the Jimbo Fisher offensive guru in 2014 this year. No, he is not.
Not quite.
Well, John Garcia Jr., we appreciate you for joining the show. Where can the people find you?
SI.com/college is where you'll find all our content. And of course, we're talking college ball and recruiting on Twitter every day. John_Garcia_JR.
Great. Appreciate you, John.
Likewise.
Well, thanks for making Locked On LSU your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. It's available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts.